and R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm going to take one more phone call because I think it solidifies my argument. There was a photo of me 3 years ago, and I have aged a tremendous amount in the last 3 years. There's no question about it. But I have it up on my Instagram at Fred Toucher. At a bar, there's a shrine to this team. No, it's a plaque because they sponsored this Little League team of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing a Bad Brain shirt. Now, people say dad shorts, which is not true, and then flip-flops. And a lot of people are going to give me trouble with flip-flops. But, Rich, if you were to name the bravest professions, the most manly professions, including the wonderful women that mm-hmm. that participate in these things. But if you were to name the truly brave, just spitball some jobs at me.
Firefighter.
Firefighter it is. Barry, you're a firefighter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You rock what?
First time, long time caller, Fred. We wear flip-flops around the firehouse as often as possible. The chief isn't really a big fan, but we're rocking flip-flops all day long.
And there you go. American heroes rocking the flip-flops.
There you go.
I don't like it, though!
Paul Stanley is not a big fan?
No! I need socks!
Because you like them in the hamper on top of your head.
I do! Okay. I enjoy the smell of a tube sock!
Okay, I thought that's not what you would have been sniffing in
at
there.
At the firehouse! I love to smell the come on, put it over my head. I'm having trouble breathing. I like to get close to passing out. With your sock in my head. Come on. Can't wait. Get in a fire. Get all sweating.
Now you're in a fire station.
Throw the stuff right into a pile.
Okay. You're like,
then I go and hide underneath.
Okay.
Smell around and get all goo. I can't think of it for the rest. Hey, 5 minutes, take off that outfit. Hey, let me smell it. Brand new Smith socks. Okay. Come on.
All right. You like the socks the best. I thought it would have been the underwear. You're a big fan of those before.
I love it.
Okay, thank you, Paul Stanley. Well, appreciate
this,
it.
Back you like pizza?
I do. I like a nice grilled hot dog slice, too.
You like a hot dog?
Yes, I do.
Well, I like socks, jocks, and fill in the rest.
I know. Okay. Something arrives with that. Yeah. Yes.
You better believe.
Yes, that's right.
Roosters.
Yes, thank you. Rooster, yes.
I have a small farm.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Have you ever had a fresh egg? It's worth it.
Yes.
I got a chicken coop.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I bought them all. I got a small farm. DA comes over, I have him step in things.
Yes, 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 you do. Yes, you
all
do.
All right.
Cock-a-doodle do. Absolutely.
Huh?
Just back to what you were doing. That's
don't
right.
mind if I die.
That's right. Yes, it was.
That's how I always thought it went. I just thought it went, don't mind if I do.
Okay, all right.
I'm married.
Yeah, no. Yep, yes, you are. It's legit.
All right, so there's a story on Deadspin, and it's one of these like garbage tours that golfers play on, and the golfers are playing, and it's down to the final two holes, and this guy, the golfer's got so many stupid rules, but this guy goes to the other player's caddy, and he asks the question to the caddy, and the caddy answers it. So then, the guy who had asked the question, which the caddy answered, went and complained that that was illegal, mm-hmm. that the caddy answered to him. Then he claims that they crossed each other in the parking lot and that the caddy hit him. Now, the police can find no evidence of this. The man was never charged with assault. There was none of that. But it got me thinking. When you're playing golf, a lot of times people are intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be numerous fights on golf courses, wouldn't you think?
Oh, okay. So just as my two older brothers both worked at a golf course when they were in high school. They were the guys who worked the cart barn. They cleaned everybody's carts. They weren't caddies. I don't think the golf club had caddies, but they were the guys who would bring out your carts, things like that. Well, there was this one guy who lived near the course and insisted on bringing his own golf cart. Like, he was wanted to be, like, king of the golf course. I've got my own golf cart. You guys have heard of these guys before, right?
Yeah, my dad has his own golf cart because he can drive it to the golf course.
Okay, apparently this guy was playing behind someone. This is according to my brother. He said that apparently this guy was playing behind him, and they had been warning him. He'd been hitting it into them when they weren't ready to go. Like, there was one ball that the guy hit that was probably about, like, 10 yards from him, it landed. And he's like, hey, quit it. And he did it several times. And then finally, the guy hits a ball and he hits it over his head. And it misses him by just several feet. And they turn around and start screaming at the guy. And they get in like a screaming match on the golf course, where apparently, as both of them got back to the clubhouse, while they were both in there and they were having lunch, one of them went out and cut the tires of the guy's golf cart. Just like slashed the tires of his own golf cart.
I would just like to know where the man had the implement. Like, where in his bag was the switchblade?
I have a feeling when you live where I live, you got a lot of those around you. Guns and knives.
Because obviously if someone's hitting into you, you're going to have a lot of problems. But I'm wondering if anyone was playing with someone who was like, challenged you on a rule to the point where they, like, wanted to get violent.
Okay, I can't even imagine that. I mean, I've seen people get ready to blow and the smallest things piss them off when holes are double booked. And there's some clubs around here that apparently do that a lot. Like, the tee times are set, like, at the morning, and they'll start you, and they'll put two different people, like, groups of foursomes on the same hole, and it's just like at a standstill the entire, it takes you like 6 hours to finish a round of golf.
Yeah, well, that pisses me off.
And when that happens, you just see people getting angrier and angrier and angrier as the day goes on, and the slightest things get them pissed off.
Yeah.
So I could see somebody completely popping off at some point for something stupid.
All right, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. So back in the early 2000s, I worked at a club here in the Boston area. And I worked in the back room, and there was like a staging area where all the guys came in at the end of a round, and two Boston sportscasters, I don't know if I should use their names or not, got into a fight over a gambling debt, basically. They were ready to come to blows, and golf pros had to come and split them up, essentially.
Yeah, I could see gambling being a big factor in that. I know when I worked at a driving range, I drove the cart. And I was in, when you get hit.
You were the guy that was out picking up the golf balls.
I drove the
Everyone cart. Aims for you.
Yes, which is fine. And I get it. But when they hit you, it sounds like a bomb went off. Like, it's disconcerting. Like, I don't care how many times you get hit.
Yeah.
You still, like, so I was coming, which is fine. And I understand that you're doing it. And it's fine with me.
By the way, 617-779-0985.
But one time I was pulling in. And I was probably about, I was coming in, say I was 20 feet away, and this jackass and his friend have big ass grins on their faces, and they're ripping balls at the windshield of it, and it's just making this, like, incredibly loud noise. I mean, they're hitting drivers 10 feet away from me, and I got out and went absolutely ballistic and like, kicked their bags over and stuff, and then I got fired. But, like, there's nothing worse.
Why would you get fired? That's like, you're completely in the right to do that. What, you knocked over their bag?
Because I'm some ass from high school. They didn't care about
it. But they're rifling it off at you. That's wildly unsafe.
They're not going to break any of that stuff. It's like bulletproof plastic. But the thing is that there's nothing worse than, like, guys smiling. Like, what do you think's going to happen? Like, it's all right? Like, I'm just some, like, I don't need this job. Like, it's not like, you know, oh, what can I do for you, sir? Oh, that's still, I get the feeling up my spine when I think of those. And they were like in their 40s, like having the time of their lives.
Well, if you've ever gotten in a fist fight or witnessed a fight on a golf course, 617-779-0985. Because I know that you hear about this a lot. And I actually know a guy who's been hit by a golf ball before, like in the back.
Ugh.
And that sucks. Sucks. Yes.
I've been in a cart where the cart's been hit in the back. Like, it's hit, like, we're lucky because it hit, like, the lower part of the cart.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the Super Fat Guy song. I don't want to be a player no more.
Sorry, I've been distracted. I just found out Scott Foster's officiating the game tonight.
Is it Fat? Big Pun.
Big Pun.
Fat Joe is his protege.
Fat Joe is, what's love got to do with it, babe, I believe. Yeah, so there you go, Scott Foster. Brothers is the one where they have the 1-8 yes. record, right? But Foster's almost just as bad, so.
The best Fat Joe interview I ever heard is Chris Noracco asked him what the most he ever spent on shoes was, and then he asked why he would ever do that, considering he'd never see him. All right, here we go. I'm interested in this. A big fight at a golf course at a pro tournament. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, I was at golf in from Billerica, me and my buddy, and I'm gonna not going to lie, I'm probably the worst golfer in the world. But he was like, hey, Dave, you think I can actually hit that goose out there? And there was just two geese. You know how they mate for life. And the stupid meathead actually hit the goose's leg, busted the goose's leg. And the poor, I don't know if it was the male or the female, was trying to, like, literally, like, help the goose to the water. And he's laughing the entire time. And I just turned to him and just croaked him in the face. I've never been more ticked in my life.
You have just won the hearts of many young ladies. And by the way, that's a lot of...
I like this guy.
That's a lot of information on geese.
Yeah, they made for life.
They made for life. I was unaware of.
Apparently they do. Okay. Now, is this the same guy who was arrested doing karate moves on geese in Florida that we had in the armpits of America?
Were those geese or swans?
Oh, you know, that's right. It was swans.
A more, far more majestic animal. Tim, you were on the radio, sir.
Hey, Tim, turn your radio down, buddy.
Oh, that's not happening.
All right, it's not good.
Steven, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was invited to a bachelor party on Staten Island with my brother-in-law.
Hot dog.
And we go to this little course, and we go out, and about the second hole, the guys I'm playing with don't have too much golfing experience. And the group behind us is screaming at us, pick up the pace, pick up the pace. So I turn around and I tell them, okay, it won't be a problem. We'll take care of it. And about four or five holes later, we see these guys. It's Derek Wittenberg, the basketball player.
Oh, yeah, NC State 83, that guy, yeah.
So I think he was like the AD at Wagner at the time. And he wouldn't help his opponent look for his lost ball, for his ball that he couldn't find in the rough. And they came to blows. We're looking over, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Good thing we didn't have any trouble with these guys. They're rolling around on the fairway.
Oh, so he wouldn't help them look for his lost ball.
Yeah, Wittenberg was the head coach at Fordham for a while. The word is that he is, you know, that carefree, go lucky guy. That's all an act. Apparently, he is very tough to deal with.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, there's nothing more frustrating than playing golf with my father, who miraculously can pick up all of his balls and find out where they went. But mine they're just absolutely impossible to find.
I'm sorry, Freddie. That's out of play.
No, it's just like, I didn't see
it. Out of play, Freddie.
He's like, I didn't see it.
Jeez. I just got a tweet, by the way. It says, at age 15, I got paired up with two fully tatted 30-year-old townies.
Oh,
I sliced a drive into the woods, and when I came out of the woods, they were in a full-on brawl rolling around in the grass. I grabbed my clubs and continued to play out of the next hole without them.
There's no pressure. The people that go to a golf course by themselves and get teamed up with a threesome are the bravest people on the planet. I would shank that first drive every single time.
Happens a lot. To me, is what I'm saying.
No, so you'll go out by yourself and play with the strangers?
Yeah, I have a 9-hole course right near where I live. So, you know, midday, I usually wind up getting paired up with, you know, 370-year-olds who are out there. They're retired. They're like, okay, this is our weekly game, that kind of thing.
See, the thing that sucks is then to keep pace, like, I end up picking up the ball on every hole. And so it's like I might as well not have played.
Right.
There's, like, unyielding pressure. Apparently, if you play St. Andrews, the 18th hole, they have, like, the big restaurant is up.
Oh, yeah, you're hitting towards it. Yes.
Yeah, and they're all sitting there judging you.
Yes, that's right. Is it the St. Andrews where they have the starter check your tee shot at one, and based on how you hit the ball at one, they're like, well, you can play, or you, no, you, this course isn't for you. Well, I seem to remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
From somewhere.
Golf is such a friendly game. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, Toucher and Rich. So I play golf up in the city in Boston, and I'm in a league that everything we fight about, whether it's how many shots they get, it's how you pay, everything else, there is literally almost every other weekend a fight on the golf course. Jeez. From what it is. One of the arguments. It's the dumbest thing on earth, and we're all golfers. It doesn't matter where you play or who you play with, you're going to run into trouble.
Now, how old are these people that are fighting?
These people, they range from about 25 to, I think, the gentleman I played with yesterday was 78, and he shot 80, actually.
Yeah, you shoot your age, you're talking all right there.
We got some good golfers up there, but at the end of the day, they argue about how we pay, how much, the strokes. It's just... it's a bitch fest all around.
Have you seen old people fight before?
What's that?
Have you seen old people fight?
Oh, it's great. It's not physically fight, but I've seen them come close to, getting really upset with each other and have to get separated a little bit.
But it's whoever pees themselves last is truly the warrior.
It's intimidation.
Yeah. A guy where my parents live pulled up in a golf cart and shot a guy.
What? Huh?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was, and I don't even think it involved golf. The guy was just driving around in a golf cart, and like a car cut him off or something like that, and he shot the guy.
The drive-by shooting with a golf cart?
It wasn't drive-by. Like, they got in an argument, and the guy in the golf cart, for some reason, had a gun in the golf cart and shot the guy.
Well, of course he does. It's Tennessee.
Yeah.
Whoa. What happened to the guy he shot?
Died.
Oh, she killed him?
Yep.
Oh my God!
So now the other old guy's in jail for the rest of his life.
Does Tennessee have one of those laws that you can basically get away with killing someone if you say you felt threatened, like Florida does?
I'm sure that it's not a cut and dry case. I'm sure that you have to. That there is some wiggle
just
room.
Know the sheriff.
I think there's some wiggle room.
Oh my God!
No, they live in a nice area, but I mean,
still
it was,
Tennessee.
It was big news,
right?
Yeah, like having a gun at the ready like that, it seems like a bad idea if you have anger issues.
Dude, I was at a Chick-fil-A in Georgia recently when I went to go to visit my mother, and there was a guy in line at Chick-fil-A wearing a gun. And I left. I was like, I can't be in here. What does this guy think? He's going to be like the hero all of a sudden? He's going to be in the Chick-fil-A and someone's going to come in and he's going to be the guy?
Sean Hannity has an open license to open carry.
Well, I mean... okay, awesome. High five. I mean, it still makes you feel weird when you're standing in like a fast food restaurant and the guy in front of you has a giant, like a pistol by his side.
Yeah. I think it's rootin' tootin' fun. So now you can start all acting like Yosemite Sam.
Somebody's going to demand extra waffle fries and then there's going to be like a showdown.
But if the Nuge was at the Chick-fil-A and you knew if something went down, he'd be there to make a citizen's arrest?
Sure, he probably would.
No, but he loves it. That's how he starts off his book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll. He loves making citizen's arrest. All right, Rich, we have so much coming up in the stack. What will we discuss?
Okay, so we have a little bit of Celtics news. Also, I heard the best Brad Stevens story this weekend. And now that Zolak and Bertrand, they have him on once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I need them to ask whether or not this is true, because I believe it 1,000%.
I have a feeling it's something to do with, a threesome?
No, although I could see why you would think that.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that bad boy persona.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, first, as I was mentioning, the NBA referee assignments were announced for tonight's game, and Scott Foster is your number one official, followed by Bill Kennedy, Eric Lewis, and David Guthrie. What do we know, John, about Scott Foster and his record with the Boston Celtics?
Well, Scott Foster was the lead official on the during the only Celtics loss to Philadelphia in the last round. You will remember a lot of Celtics got into a massive amount of foul trouble early in that game. So take that for what you will. Also, the LA Times conducted a survey, an anonymous survey of 50, I believe it was, NBA players, coaches, and executives. And Scott Foster, far and away, was voted the worst referee in the NBA.
Oh, there you go. So
I would expect the series to be even by the end of tonight.
And as you mentioned, you said Bill Kennedy is the official number two, and he was the one that got in trouble with Doc Rivers, that Doc Rivers apparently used a gay slur towards him. And
that's correct.
I believe he is out.
He's out.
Okay. But then again, you know, you're not going to hold it against the organization now that Doc Rivers. And I'm sure that's something you don't forget if you are indeed reffing one of his teams.
Put it this way, the odds seem to be on Cleveland's side this evening. It does not look particularly great.
I just want them to, like, show up. Just show up. Just show me that you've got some sort of effort. I mean, game three was embarrassing. Nobody, like, literally no one on that team had a good game.
Yep.
And, I mean, I credit the Cavs a little, but I think it was more a fact that the Celtics just showed up, and maybe they bought into their own hype. Maybe they thought they could sleepwalk through this game, and maybe they thought that LeBron James was the only player worth a damn, but my God, he got everyone involved. As I said, some of the best passes I've seen a guy make, he had like four highlight reel worthy passes that got everyone involved, but let's just see what happens. So Brad Stevens, I heard a story about him this weekend, and I want to see if Zolak and Bertrand will ask him this week whether or not this is true, because I believe it 100%. So a guy that I know knows Brad Stevens' next-door neighbor, and apparently Brad Stevens' next-door neighbor this past summer broke his wrist and couldn't mow his lawn, so Brad Stevens, for 6 weeks, every week, went and mowed his lawn for him.
How about that?
Does that not sound like something Brad said?
Yes, it does.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
Sure, I'll come on over and mow your lawn for you. There you go. Then let's play some Pac-Man together in the basement.
Miss Pac-Man.
Oh, he's a Miss Pac-Man guy. Pac-Man, yeah. I can completely see that happening.
Yeah.
He's just Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. Good job there, Mr. Brad
Stevens.
I don't
know why you have to make light of him, considering he did something so nice.
He did. He's a very good man. Somebody who hasn't been very good lately is Johnny Manziel. He's been a bad, bad boy, but he's trying to get back into the league. And I know a lot of people are pushing for him to come to the New England Patriots, especially because he wore like a sweater that said Patriots on it, and everyone freaked out.
Then you almost have to.
You do have to sign him, as a matter of fact. Maybe that would be the thing that would get Tom Brady back at the OTAs, if you knew that Johnny Manziel was behind him.
You knew like a 5'7" has-been was right behind you. Yeah, that'd get him going.
But this weekend, he decided to sign with the Canadian Football League's Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Hamilton right between Ottawa and Toronto.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay. I have no idea. He said, made the decision to sign my contract with the CFL and further my football career after a long break. Very grateful for everyone that's been supporting me along the way. I believe this is the best opportunity for me moving forward.
Eugene Levy from Hamilton.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have like a road named after him?
They have a public pool named after him.
It's just called the Everything's Crazy, It's Going On Around Me Highway. It's
called, look at how hairy I am.
Every one of his movies, he makes this face on the front cover or the front box of the DVD.
Listen, you got to make money. Yeah. You know, if you want to make the American Pie 17, you got to do it.
Well, not everyone can be Deadpool 2, because that made $1 zillion this weekend. $125 million this opening weekend. It knocked Avengers Infinity War finally out of first place. That was bumped to second with $28.7 million. And Fred, I know a movie you wanted to see in third place, Book Club.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. About the old ladies that meet together.
Oh, that's Diane Keaton and all them, right?
Yeah. Yes. I want to see what kind of misadventures they get into. Mm-hmm. Frito Burritos. Now, what's in that besides Fritos?
Fritos and beef.
What else? I mean, hearing how much it had to be boosted to get, I mean, it was so low in the mix, and Mike had to do a little magic back there. He mentioned something that had me laughing to myself all weekend long. So we were doing Towny Jeopardy, and for some reason, no one in the room had heard of the St. Peter's Fiesta in Gloucester, where they have the Greasy Pole Contest.
Right.
So what happens is, if you've never heard of it before, they have what is essentially a wooden log that is jutting out over the water. What would you say? It's about 20 feet over the water, Dan? It's about 20. Okay, so you have to take a ladder up to this big thing that everyone stands in, and there's a flag at the end of the pole. Now, the pole is probably about a little less than 10 yards long, and you have to try to walk across the pole or drag yourself across the pole without falling in to get this thing. The videos are amazing. If you go on YouTube, I tweeted one the other day. It's people falling, slipping, racking themselves, and then landing in the water. So Pasta Joe said that he actually has been wanting to try that for a long time and wants to try it this year. Can you imagine that guy walking out on that pole?
It would be the greatest thing ever.
It would be the great. My life might end. I might just laugh. I might actually get a heart attack from
when
laughing.
When is it? When is it? When's the big day?
It's like the end of June. Yeah, every year, it's okay. Like the end of June.
And he'll be, don't worry, he'll be there.
Well, I mean, he's got to get someone to drive him. We've got to give up
there. Don't worry, he's going to get there lickety-split.
I would do a live broadcast from there if he was going to do it. It might be the highlight of my life. The hardest I think I ever laughed, like as far as seeing somebody on a show do something, is I remember Adolfo one time went to Panama City and won the wet t-shirt contest. Right. It was one of the hardest I've ever laughed because he got up there and just ripped off his shirt and the place went crazy. But if Pasta Joe
Frito Burrito
did the greasy pole contest at the St. Peter's Fiesta in Gloucester,
Fritos and beef.
It's my Super Bowl. There's nothing bigger than that for me.
You know what we should do is around Christmas, we should have Christmas for Pasta Joe.
Is you what? I'm sorry?
Christmas for Pasta Joe.
Pasta Joe Christmas?
Yeah, like where he opens up a bag and it's got like Frito Burritos. He's like, yeah.
And cheese.
We should do a bit called Get Pasta Joe Excited.
Yeah.
Just to hear whether or not his level of just breathing.
Like you have this massive box and it's all Chef Boyardee's.
Fritos and beef.
As I like this.
And cheese.
My Christmas thing. How about that?
Like when we did a Chili Guy Christmas and he hated all of it.
Yeah, well, he didn't want any of that at all.
No.
Hang on. Frank Online 2 has more information about the grease pole contest. Because I want Pasta Joe to be part of it. He wants to do it. And the thought of it made me laugh all weekend long.
Frank, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
So, yes, he has to qualify. So you have to, like, go on a Wednesday and, like, sign up on, like, on the website. And then you can run on Wednesday. If you win on Wednesday, you can go Thursday and carry on until Sunday when it's a championship.
Oh, yeah, you're asking a lot. Yeah.
I have a feeling we might be able to talk to somebody.
Give Pasta Joe a bye to
kinda,
the finals?
We're kind of powerful around here, if you haven't noticed.
A bye to the end of the greasy pole competition.
I don't think Pasta Joe wants to cut any corners.
Yeah. He wants to do this the right way?
Yeah, he doesn't want to use his celebrity for cutting line.
Okay, fine. Then I want to be there for all the qualifying rounds.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with him leaving the house 4 days in a row.
Well, I mean, it will be during his sleeping hours.
That's a good point.
When the sun is out.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
The sun is out. He's like, he lives a vampire life, apparently. Well, as I said, Deadpool 2 made a ton of money this past weekend. If you heard Burr's review, there was some things he did not like about it. As a matter of fact, the one guy he did not like was...
The guy who should have stayed in the car, and he wanted to do more. I get it.
The guy who should have stayed in the car.
And that was Robert De Niro.
As the guy who wanted to stay in the car.
Sure. And you know what else he did?
Wrong the right way.
He did wrong the right way.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Terrence Williams from the Dallas Cowboys got in trouble this past Saturday night when he took out his Lamborghini and smashed it into a telephone pole in Frisco, Texas. Now, according to the police department, his Lamborghini was found by officers around 4:45 a.m. They said, quote, the driver of the vehicle had fled the scene and could not be found in the area. Frisco police were able to determine that the vehicle was registered to this guy, and so they went looking for him, and they ended up finding him near his residence riding an electric bicycle in the roadway. So, after he wrecked his car, he's like, well, if I'm not here, they can't find me. And so he got one of those electric bikes and was arrested for public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor, and they took him to jail. He was released
after that. But can they get him on the DUI?
You know what? It depends. If he was... Man, that's a great question, because if he, because it's registered to him.
Right.
But if there's a video anywhere, obviously, of him getting out of the car, but if there's no evidence of that, I wonder if you had a good lawyer where they get out of it.
I crashed the car, and I was...
Went out for a drink.
And I was really unnerved, so I went out to, like, calm my nerves.
And they would say, okay, where did you go?
Yeah, they say I went to this bar, and then...
And they would say that bar was closed at 4 in the morning, so you did not go there.
Okay, so I went home.
Or you could say, theoretically, I mean, because all NFL players have to have a fall guy, say, buddy wrecked the car, I'm just out riding my electric bike at 5 in the morning because I needed some air.
Okay.
Maybe. You have a good enough lawyer.
Yeah.
Let's take line 2. I need more info about this greasy pole competition and Pasta Joe getting there.
Oh, boy.
Frito Burrito.
All right, go ahead, Ryan.
How we doing, guys?
Hey.
Good. So I am actually a greasy pole walker, first off. And I will say Frank is wrong about the qualifying for it. And the sign-ups are going to be in a few weeks on it. And there's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay? Friday is for juniors, first-time walkers, non-champions, okay? If you win Friday, you walk on Saturday. If you win Saturday, you can walk on Sunday. Sunday is for days of champs. So any champion who doesn't want to walk can give someone the opportunity to walk in his place. And that's what I do. I walk as a protege and for a previous champion. And, sign-ups are literally, I think, 2 weeks away. So if he gets down for sign-ups, he can absolutely come down and walk on a Friday.
Okay.
He has to be there first.
Two things about that. Number one, we need to find a pro that will his spot to Pasta Joe for Sunday, which is going to be tough, I know, because obviously there is to be knighted in his honor to walk the pole.
Yeah. Pasta Joe's not doing this.
He said he wanted to.
Okay.
Second of all, the fact that they have a juniors competition of kids falling and racking themselves and falling 20 feet into the water.
20 feet in the water.
It's fairly fascinating.
Is no big deal. All right, Zolak and Bertrand will be in studio. The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, I just want to plug something real quick, or just say a thank you, actually. This past weekend on Friday night, there was a charity thing that a couple people, friends of mine, put together at Tommy McInerney. He's the guy who taught Sean Thornton how to box. He became friends with him when he was in town. He was part of the whole Lowell Mickey Ward crew up there, and Sean and him became friends, and since then, he has been essentially the unofficial trainer of the Boston Bruins. Chara's gone in there as far as boxing is concerned. Adam McQuaid's been there and a ton of other guys. And he helped teach a class for charity with a bunch of people this past Friday night over at the Ring in Alston. He's a great guy. Did it for free. Did it at the just because he believed in the charity. So thank you, Tommy McInerney. If you want to get trained by the guy who teaches the Boston Bruins how to box, he's got his own gym over in Dedham called Fitbox. So definitely go see him. He's a good guy.
Or maybe he pays for the advertising on the station.
He did it for charity for free. So I am damn glad to plug that.
You just like that you're friends with a boxer.
Two boxers.
Mm-hmm. Friends with a billionaire and two boxers.
Well, they're boxers, yeah. I mean, Tommy's a good guy. And the guy I know was one of the trainers for Mickey Ward back in the day. And he had
you
a guy.
You go out for supper?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good friends with that guy. He's good. He's got some good stories about it. If you watch that movie, The Fighter,
mm-hmm.
I think at one point he dated one of the sisters that was in that movie.
Oh.
Which, if you saw that, the sisters were hysterical. Like, that was one of the funniest parts of that movie. The one with Wahlberg, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it was an actual good Wahlberg movie that came out.
What do you guys do for fun, you and the boxer?
We we're always together because our kids play in the same leagues. So I see him probably 3 to 4 times a week, and then just dinners.
Yeah?
Yep. Our families are close, both families.
Does he give you the old 1-2?
He taught me. He's trained me before. Yep.
Do you feel like you could get in there and now create some havoc?
Absolutely not. Without a doubt, I would get killed. No. I didn't even know how to make a fist when I first started training with him.
Would you, what is his feeling on flip-flops in the ring?
He does not like flip-flops. I think he probably would not recommend wearing flip-flops
just in
the
general?
Ring. Not in general, no. Just all right, in the
so
ring.
He's not one of these sissified folk that don't want you to wear flip-flops.
No, he is not. No, he is not.
All right. People on my Instagram giving me all kinds of business for
giving
the flip-flop.
You the giving you the
and
I'll for?
Tell you what, 2 years ago it was cargo shorts, and now it's flip-flops. I ain't changing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it my way. If you don't like it, if you want to, if you don't like the summers, if you don't like going to the pool and getting rays, that's on you. That's on you. Did you take the boxing lesson?
This past Friday, not. I was one of the organizers of it, so I did not. But I have from him before.
How much charity stuff do you do? It's a lot. You should be commended.
What? I mean, this is just, it was fun, though. Like, it's a fun thing.
Yeah, but it's still for charity.
No.
I don't do anything for charity.
Yes, you do. You ran that road race.
Yeah.
You 5K, do the, the Bruins ping pong tournament, pucks and paddles.
I do. What I do is I volunteer my time.
There you go.
But not for anything like a,
like a cause.
I'd say it is a cause.
I think.
Like the school raffle.
Sure.
Okay, that's good.
Did you MC, what was the charity event?
You almost got a fight with a guy?
Yeah, I got a guy. Building. He was angry at you.
$5. He said he would give $350 if I would shut the F up. Yeah. And then he uncomfortably stared at me for the rest of the event.
Fair enough.
And then you got in a fight with him, like a verbal fight, right, afterwards?
I've never been that pissed. It's one of the most pissed off I've ever been in my entire life. I said, here we are at a nursery school, and you're swearing at me because you think I'm taking your birdhouses too lightly. I was really mad, which well, does not happen often.
Wasn't there, like, crying involved?
Yeah, my wife started crying, and I don't know. Because she knew that if I wanted to, my fists are registered weapons.
I see. My mitt. Call them your mitts.
Yeah, my mitts. All right. Scotty Z.
What's up, kids?
You ever do that boxing?
No, I never have.
Yeah.
No.
Neither have I.
You realize how weak your left arm is.
Yep.
You've never learned how weak it is faster than when you're in a boxing.
Totally agree. I started out with my kid when he was 7. Tied his arm, his right hand to his waist. I made him walk around the house and pick up things with his left hand. Just start getting used to it. Just so he could kind of dribble with both. What are you looking at? Monday? Got the walking in, the interns are like, hey, what's up, dude? It's all.
I do the same thing with my son, is that he's left-handed and overplays left hand, so he has to go right.
Yeah.
That I just won't let him, dribble left-handed. I'll just take the ball away.
That's all. Just kick it in the weeds.
Yep.
Go get it.
That's what I do. If he drives to the basket on the right side of the basket, he shoots left-handed, I swat it away.
Attaboy.
Mm-hmm. You got to use
both hands. Newton. Parents from Newton, they get upset with that stuff.
Yeah.
I saw Capello bitching.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was at a soccer match, and one of the parents from Newton, I guess, was complaining because the other team was cheering too hard.
Yeah,
you know what I did? I just started cheering harder.
Sounds right.
You can't cheer.
Typical Capello.
Yeah, sounds right.
You can't be cheering out there. Come on.
Yeah, it embarrasses the other kids. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah, I know. You can't cheer.
Why would you ever cheer your own kid on?
Yeah, why would you support your child?
Tell you what, that was the worst allergy night ever of the season.
Yeah, Ooh. It has sucked.
Oh, throat,
the last
nose,
week
head.
Has sucked.
Man, it's coming down like snow out there.
Yeah, it's always yellow
white,
snow?
Yeah, the white stuff is just blowing around.
You know what? That doesn't affect me.
They're not like dandelions. It's the anti-dandelion with the
anti-dandelion? An atomic bomb?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The dandelion, never mind. The white one. And you pick it up and your kids go, and blow, and it blows everywhere.
Oh, and then it creates more weeds, and then you're like, come on, guys.
Exactly.
All right, what do you got going on today?
Well, it's Brady stuff. I think we're
what do you make of that?
Kind of expected it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He'll be there for the mandatory stuff.
Okay.
Mandatory. I'm interested. Keyword mandatory. The other key word this offseason, voluntary. That's been stressed a lot.
I am interested.
First time
in
20
take.
Years. Voluntary has been talked about more than that word's ever been said in 20 years.
I'm interested in your take on the matter.
Yep. Fact, we got Celtics, baby. Boy, that sucks Saturday.
That was awful.
Because you look forward to it. You look so forward to that night.
It wasted a Saturday night. It was
it really
a waste
did.
Of a Saturday night.
And then you're sitting there like, they're never going to get. You saw Stevens' face. You saw their face on the bench. You're like, they're not going on a run.
Yep. This is who they are today, and it sucks. And you're not going to be enjoying it. And
NBA, baby. That's what they tell me. That's what the experts tell me.
Yeah. Well, they're not good on the road.
Now, all of a sudden, national people are all on Cleveland.
The narrative changes. So, right. Every time.
Yeah,
sure.
The idea
Friday to Monday completely flipped.
Yeah, and I also heard people talking about Rozier in a way that they were not talking about Rozier earlier. All right. You guys enjoy yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
That'll do it for us. Everyone have a fantastic day. Bye.